Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration, where true paranormal investigators come together. Real topics, real people, real truth. With your hosts, Bill and Chris Reed.
Hey everybody, good Monday evening. This is Bill and Chris Reap coming live at you from somewhere in the U.S.
Hey, we want to thank you for listening to the show. It was great having Zach and Scott on tonight. And
fucking time loop.
Yes.
Damn.
Oh, wait. It's interesting. We got
Scott.
Yeah, we got Jack Conkle tonight.
Great.
Scoff. Scoff.
Scoff.
Stop. It's not stop. Kind of like reap.
Reap.
The two of you, when you're sitting there, go reap. You sound like a pair of bullfrogs sitting on the
makes
lawn.
Me think of the old Budweiser commercial.
Bud. Reap.
Bud.
Reap. Reap.
Bud.
Maybe we could do a Christmas
thing,
like the dogs barking,
jingle
bells. We could do it with
Scott, like,
yeah.
thing.
All three of us standing in a row.
Yeah. You know, tonight we have a wonderful guest tonight, but he couldn't make it, so Jeff Conkle's going to be on with us tonight.
Wow.
Wow.
And if you listen very closely, you might even hear Scott Grimwald.
I doubt it.
I mean, I keep thinking I'm hearing him, but then again, my gifts are expanding, and, you know, even the living can come through sometimes.
You want to know what I think it is? I think it's Scott. I think Jeff is still watching his live feed from the other day.
Oh, that's
and it's just going on and on and on and on for infinity.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Not really Scott.
It's still going on.
It's not really Scott. It's not really Scott.
Yeah.
But, Jeff,
it's not really Scott.
Okay. We're excited
well,
to
you.
Have you on.
I'm happy to be on myself.
It was really cool. You know, you're a great friend, and I have a lot of respect for you, and Chris has a lot of respect for you for what you do in the field. I will say this. I am somebody who hates usually the word drama in the paranormal.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about drama.
And we can't wait to talk about drama.
Drama in the paranormal. Fucking awesome.
Well, it's drama. That's what the machine is that I made. It specifically means one thing, and I forgot. Because I only made one.
What the hell was it?
Data something or other.
As Mish and...
It was digital reap. Answering machine.
Yeah, it had to have reap in there.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That was awesome. Loved it.
If I remember correctly,
I'm working on a newer model too.
It's data review analysis monitoring aid.
That's correct.
Bing,
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 bing.
What do I win?
Wow, it's on back order. Sorry. I don't know. What do you win?
I don't know. I'm going to go wait outside by the mailbox.
Drama.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're going to be there a while. No, I send all my mail by stork. Or is that a crow? I can't remember.
Crows are welcome here.
Anytime.
Storks would make us, but they'd make us a lot of money.
They carry a lot more weight, though.
Yeah, true.
So,
Jeff, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell everybody who, I don't know how anybody doesn't know who you are, but for those who don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself, Bachelor number one?
My name's Jeff. I'm from a certain part of California. Yeah. No, that's me. No, I'm just a guy, dude, who likes to help in the paranormal. That's all I am. I build things to help people find things. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. been my passion for a while. And then I met Scott, and it kind of grew even more. You know, it's just been one of those things. And it's been
Scott
a never-ending roller.
We can tell. We've watched the videos.
Yeah, we have to have fun at what we do. If we don't have fun,
absolutely.
Then there's no reason to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so many people say.
I mean, it gets serious.
It
gets serious in the investigation, but prior
right.
to it, it's family. It's all about fun and communicating with each other and trying to collect the data, trying to get the evidence.
Fuck yes. Absolutely.
You know?
I say it
I don't
all
have
time
to
either.
Deal with all that other stuff.
Right. And if you're having a good time doing what you're doing, why the fuck do it? Get out.
Yeah, I love building. I do. I mean,
no, and you know what?
I planned on. Go ahead, Bill.
No, go ahead, Jeff. It's your show.
No, it's not. You brought me on.
No, go ahead.
No, but anyway, I mean, I just love to build, and just like Scott said, it's things that I build that helps us find the proof to collect that data that we want, you know. And if somebody else is interested in this equipment that I build, it's to be honest with you, I could help. I mean, selling the stuff, I don't know about selling it as much as I could help you, and Scott could help you guys build it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very simple, very easy. I'm here to help. Scott's here to help. That's what we do. I mean, everybody should have something to collect data. It's you know, if you don't have it, then you can make it. If you can't make it, then you got to go a different route. Use a bell. Bells. Bells are great. Bells are always good.
Compass is good.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely a compass and a bell. If you had that, you're a paranormal investigator. That's the original. It's the original stuff, you know. I build it because the things that I build it for me because I have not theories. It's not theories. It's just, you know, I want to interact with them as much as possible. So the things that I make help me to do that, you know. I build devices that they're familiar with. I don't build devices that scare them, you know, because they were human once too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like clocks or a tree or just something very small. And, you know, because the only reason I built the EMF clock is because a clock's been around for centuries. Okay. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows what it's for. So why not make something that you're more in tune to or more comfortable with? If you make something like that, then they're more in tune to maybe come over and check it out, you know, and get closer to it instead of having this device in your hand that, you know, they don't know anything about.
Right. Plus, you know what? You said you make these devices because you want to interact with them more. And, you know, we've said for a while that we get all these blinky things because it's an instant gratification kind of world. But as you said that you want to interact with them more, it just hit me that, you know what? These blinky things are probably as much fun for them as they are for us, because as if you put yourself in the place of the spirit.
Yeah, it's actually like a game.
Right, and you're trying to communicate, and it's not working. Here's a blinky thing, and it's instant gratification. It's back and forth for both sides.
Yes,
so it is. It just hit me at that moment that, as you said, interacting with them, that it was like, you know what? It's probably just as satisfying for them to have that instant, oh, finally,
yeah,
something
I mean,
can
it is.
Go, here, look, boom.
Exactly. I mean, it's what I have these thoughts, and I build them, you know, and if I build them, I test them. You know, there's always a reason for my builds. And, you know, just like the smallest thing that could possibly help me that keeps the human influence out of that area.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Scott. Yes. What? See, now he jumps in here. What the fuck? Oh, sorry, Bill.
Hi,
didn't
Scott.
Mean to cuss on the show.
It's okay. I don't give a fuck.
I build everything. Jeff doesn't do anything.
As he sits in the corner in the dark, wondering what I'm going to build next.
You know, Scott, if you want to call in, you can call in.
Jeff told me I had to let him do it by himself because he was worried about me capturing all his attention.
Yeah. Okay. So you'll just heckle him from the far.
Right.
Yeah, which is like 2 feet away.
Yeah. But I wanted to make sure everybody hears it because, you know.
You know,
Jeff is a messy inventor. His side of the table is just completely covered with trash and inventions.
Hey, we've seen your laundry line, Scott.
That's messy desk, messy work area is the sign of a genius.
Okay, then I won't tell you that he threw all the shit from his side to mine.
No, I say messy desk is a sign of a genius, and he just goes, no, you're just unorganized. I'm like,
no, if I organize it, I won't be able to find anything to put it
right?
together.
Every
and Scott tried that once, and I yelled
safe,
at him.
I lose it.
You know,
Scott tried that one.
Watching you and Scott and your live feeds, the two of you are two peas in a pod. It's like watching.
It's like they share one mind.
One mind, yes.
Yeah, I guess, right? He's going to see if he can listen to the show now. You've piqued his interest.
Oh. Oh, gee. Thanks, Scott. You know, comes on whenever he's a guest on the show, he goes, oh, I listen all the time. Now it's like, hey, I'm going to go listen now. Wait. What is it on?
They're talking about me.
What is it on?
He's looking right now. He's got it.
How did you come up with this brainchild of drama?
Well, the problem is I couldn't, just like Scott, you know, in the beginning I was by myself. So everything that I came up with in the beginning came up to help me in the beginning of this. Okay. Because I didn't know Scott. I didn't know anybody. I was doing this stuff on my own for a long time. And just like the drones, when I first came up with this, I showed Scott my drone and he flipped and then that went off like crazy. You know, and then I brought over my light thing, my light kit. And that for me was just to be in, instead of two places at once, it was for me to be in three places or four places at once. You know, I would have the cords and I'd be set the main object in the center of the floor in the hallway and then stretch the cables out into each room and close the doors. So I would know which one was in room. And if the light went off, then I'd go into that room and start the communication process. You know, it was more, you know, it was just knocking it down, so it was made it easier for me.
How is it nobody ever came up with that?
I love
it's
it.
Too freaking easy.
I don't know. It's just stuff that pops into my head, and I have to build it. If I don't build it, I get an extreme headache, and it don't go away.
Now,
it works so well.
Did you expect it to work the way it did when we used it for a seance?
No, I didn't expect it to go nuts like that. That's a first, you know, to be honest with you, when I let Michelle have that device because she does so many investigations, okay? She is out there 24/7. If she didn't have to work, she would be investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so much respect for her because of that. So I gave it to her because I know this thing would be used constantly. And to get the responses that I got, because I only got a response once off of it since I built it. And all the responses that she's gotten off of it, it's just mind-blowing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like, wow. To sit there and watch these lights, to watch them go on and off the way they did in that scenario, it made me feel really, really good. It made me feel like, wow, this thing actually works.
It's amazing how well it worked. And it was, and we could watch as, you know, when Misty had stuff going on, and she had spirit coming through to her, and it was behind her and lighting up for her. And then later, Holly had stuff going on, and it lit up her color. And it was just absolutely wild to watch this thing, see who is being affected by spirit at the moment, and watching the correlating lights light up.
Hey, can you hold
on?
We have a caller. We have somebody who has a question for you. Hi, Paranormal Collaboration. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thank you. You've been a long-time listener, first-time caller, aren't you?
I have. I've been listening to you for days now.
Brenda, it's wonderful having you on tonight. You have a question for Jeff?
I do. Hey, Jeff, what does it feel like to ride on the shirt tails of Scott Grunewald to make yourself famous?
It is flipping amazing. If you know this guy Scott that I've been hanging around with last year, is the fucking funniest guy I've ever known, the most lovingest guy I've ever known, and the most caringest guy I've ever known. And she hung up, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Wow.
Yes, she did.
I think you should call that lady back.
Didn't even want to wait around for the answer.
No. I can't believe that she said you're riding on the shirt tails of Scott Grunewald. Everyone knows that Scott doesn't wear a shirt with tails.
No,
he doesn't. Yeah, it's a tutu, and I don't hang on to tutus, especially pink ones.
Oh, wait. But, well, Brenda, thank you for calling, and we hope you get the answer you're looking for.
And honey, get ready for that cold.
Right.
But you know, when we set those sensors up in that way, and like when Mish brought it out, we're like, okay, how are we gonna get this to be out and about through the whole thing and not have the wires running all over, you know, the top of the table, you know, while you know they're doing their seance. We didn't want to interfere with it, so we cut a hole through the tablecloth. Slid the dome up to the center.
Good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working on a wireless setup right now, so.
I'll be at my mailbox waiting.
Yep.
and I mean, I was really, really impressed. I mean, I didn't get to be one of the people who was allowed to sit at the table.
Well, even before the seance, we had it set up between the front door and the bottom of the stairway where we had activity happening.
Yeah, that thing. I mean, I couldn't believe it. The way it was going off like that, it was amazing to me because I have never had it in all my investigations ever go off the way it did there.
Yeah, it was great, and we are thoroughly in love with it.
It really was ingenious, and I love the thought that you had about placing it in different rooms, If you're in a situation where you're the only investigator on a floor, or there's two of you on a floor or whatever, and you're in the center, in a hallway, and you have that dome going off, and you go, okay, I got the red dome is in room 3, and the blue dome is in room 4.
Exactly.
Let's go, I'll go there. You go there. That's brilliant.
Because if it works, and it goes off in any one of those rooms, and there's something going on in there. There's something that made it go off, because those sensors only work in a straight upward motion. They don't work all the way around it. The sensors work. You have to be over the top of it in order for it to go off.
Exactly.
It's got a certain range on it, but it'll go all the way up to the roof or the ceiling of the room that it's in. But it's like a beam. It just shoots straight up.
And I love that if there's something setting off more than one sensor, the dome actually changes a different color. It's like a mix of white and
It's a multicolor. When all three of them go off, it could go into like a pinkish style color.
Yeah,
that means they're all the
same kind of color. Right. So what I'm thinking about, and a DVR system set up with something over each sensor and a DVR camera set up over the dome, and if you have one person working in one room, one in the other with each sensor, and the camera out in the hall to watch what happens and see if EVPs line up, you know, did something happen, all the ways this could be used in the field is just unlimited potential.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then I just got this new set of wireless camera system that you guys viewed on the live view from that Forgotten Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Those worked out really well. I mean, I like them. I mean, they work really well. You know, and we had that incident on Saturday night, and which we're still going over the footage because somebody literally lifted that camera up and moved it.
And,
yeah.
It was crazy.
You know, when you have things like that happen, it's just like, oh shit, this is great. and luckily,
now you guys
are able to catch that.
Yeah, I wanted to catch it on film actually moving, but the problem is I didn't have another camera facing that camera, so it's got to be a camera with inside a camera with inside of a camera.
Oh shit, it's a Facebook live feed.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to create a camera system that's got multiple lenses that go all the way around in a small base circle, kind of like a 360, but I don't like a 360 camera. Mine is going to be single shot cameras that are constantly recording around in a circle that's no more than 4 inches round.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I can get the whole interior of the room without getting that bubble effect like you would on a 360.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is it going to shoot simultaneously like in a panorama kind of thing? Or
yeah,
like
what it'll
interval?
Do is it'll work like a DVR or an NVR.
Okay.
It'll show each segmented screen in a square, but if you look at them continuously in a row, they all snap together. It's just like a long picture, you know. That's what I'm working on. So.
Yeah, like the panoramic, like Chris. You know, that's
exactly,
you know, and that'd be really interesting because, you know, that'll give you that full area of what's going on. And if it's, you know, if it's firing, you know, simultaneously, you know, it gives you a good data streak, especially if it records time. And, you know, at that time when it's, you know, when the picture's fired off and taken, which is one thing I like. I mean, your stuff is very practical and it's not just the bells and the whistles, you know.
No, it's not the bells and the whistles. It's more like, just think of like if you're in an investigation and you just need something simple. You want to be able to collect the data, get the information that you want, and walk away without carting up this whole bunch of ropes and wires and cords. And I'm trying to compact everything that I know down to a palm-sized version. And if I can do that, then that would... It would make my job a lot easier because then all I have to do is just carry one bag and I'll have 20 items in to do an investigation.
Instead of three suitcases. There's only one suggestion, only one thing I would change with drama. And I would add sound to it, a different tone for each sensor. So that if you aren't...
You know what? I was thinking about doing that on an EMF meter. I was thinking about ripping an EMF meter apart. You know, like the ones that you handheld, and I was still thinking about just sticking a tone buzzer in it for each light.
Right, just something so that if you are looking at that dome, maybe you're in the fourth bedroom, and that way you.
Well,
know
once
it's
I get it set up, I've already got
one.
A setup that I've gotten right now that's wireless. It only emits one light, but if it's messed with, it does give off a tone. I have a certain tone that goes off on it. And that was I showed that in our Forgotten Inn Saturday night. It was just a prototype. It was kind of messy looking, but it worked. But nothing ever went off because it was, I call it, it was enclosed, okay, to the point where if we went by it or we shadows went around it at all, it wouldn't go off. But if it was messed with on the inside of the lens that was protecting it, like a bubble, If something were to go inside of that bubble, then it would go off. So that was my hope, is having something kind of like either go through it or try to mess with it in a way that would make it go off. But I didn't get any, you know, replies with that one as much as I did with, you know, my geopods that I made that were on the floor. Now, those are handheld devices, and they work off motion, real close motion, as well as vibration on the floor. And it's not real sensitive, but you have to be actually right on top of it for it to go off. And I had real good time with those on Saturday night. Those things actually went off in a sequence, which really tripped me out. And I've never had those things go off on an investigation.
That's, you know, and that's amazing. That's the stuff that, you know, you're kind of pushing the limits of what's going on.
I'm trying I want to get,
you know, it's not the same old,
Bill.
It's not the same old blinky light. This is what it is. You know, this is only, it's only EMF. You know, I mean, you're trying to come up with things in so many different aspects of the paranormal. Like when you look at, you know, you and I had the discussion, and, you know, on the EVPs and what frequency EVPs are recorded.
Oh, yeah, that's another topic. Yeah, I've been working really hard on that. That one's been frying my brain a lot.
I can't wait to see what you come up with that. Because it's, you know, that's important. And the great thing is you don't have a problem with not only sharing your knowledge of how
not one bit.
Showing people how to build it. I mean, that's what I love about you, and that's what I love about Scott, because, you know, you could go to you guys with any question, and you're very, very approachable.
Oh, yeah. You ask us anything, and we'll help you out as much as possible. That's what we're here for.
I know.
I'm making my list now.
we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Our guest tonight is Jeff Conkel. Jeff is definitely a cutting-edge paranormal inventor. You know, he works side-by-side with his good friend Scott Grunwald on some projects. Jeff has comes up with some very practical and off-the-wall.
Just a bit.
Concept on how to communicate with spirit and help with answers, and it is an amazing thing. So we'll be back just after this break. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reap. Don't forget, we are the proud sponsors of Paranormal Kicks Cancer. Paranormal Kicks Cancer, find them on Facebook as they help make wishes come true for cancer patients through the paranormal all over the United States. Check out the great work that they do on Facebook, and we'll be right back right after this.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
high society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. They're fat big balls and they're dainty big balls. And he's got big balls and she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
And my balls are always bouncing and my ballroom always full. And everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls. Oh, I've got big balls. And I've got big balls. Dirty big balls. And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls.
But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Some balls are held for charity and some for fancy dress. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night.
Oh,
we've got big balls!
Everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Paranormal Collaboration with Bill and Chris Reed.
And tonight we have Jeff Conkle.
I know. It's been
awesome.
Yes. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the
no,
legend.
No. No. That would be Scott. You're talking.
No, I have a question.
Guy.
You know what, Jeff? You just brought up Scott. I have a question for you. Is it
What's
cold
up?
There in his shadow?
No. It's not.
Okay.
No,
he's
it's not
the
cold.
Wind beneath his wings.
No, Scott is just. This guy. Okay, we're gonna get into Scott for just a brief moment so we can smile here.
You have to.
This guy right here. When I first met him, he was. I mean, the first day that I met him was like 2 weeks out of the hospital, right after a stroke. I became friends with him on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott is, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, if you get into his realm, his group of people, he will love you forever, okay? He's a guy that's there for you through thick and thin. And the communication that me and Scott have between each other is just, I think, is unbelievable, because if I'm stumped on a project, he'll jump off from his side of the bench and he'll come over and say, no, why don't you just do this? Why don't you take care of it this way? Why don't you make it to where it does this? You know, it's more of a, just like what you guys say, it's like a paranormal collaboration. All right.
And that's what we
exactly
need to do.
What it is.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't talk to each other and communicate with each other and try to exchange those ideas, we're going to be stuck. We're never going to go anywhere.
Because there's been projects that I've worked on, Bill, that I have gotten to the point where I've chucked shit across the garage, you know, and Scott's like, whoa, 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 hey, yo, calm down. We got, you know, you need to think about this for a minute, because I've been working on it for so long that it destroys my brain. It starts getting just to the point where I can't do anything with it anymore. And then he comes over and he says, well, let me see what I can do. You know what I mean? It's like that. If I can't figure it out, if it bothers me that much, he's still there. He's always figuring something out about it. Always.
Right. And, you know, and having that, you know, that, you know, that feedback, that kind of, I never thought I would say this, that in talking with Scott, you know, in reference to Scott, that voice of reason,
yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's important. And that's, you know, those are things that we need when we're working or investing, you know. And,
always,
you know, it's important on when you're doing things. And, I mean, you take the most, you know, mundane objects. And, you know,
yeah.
you touched on your EMF clock.
Yes.
And you mentioned the tree. And I remember seeing
yes.
the tree.
Yes.
You know, how did you come up with that?
Well, it was kind of a project for me. What I did is I'm going to tell you right now what I did is I built an EMF meter, okay? And
mm-hmm.
what I did is I took it, instead of doing the red lights and all the way from the yellow to the red, whatever, the green from the yellow to the red, what I did is I went to a Fresno Ag or an agriculture or some type of Home Depot, and I found those small LED trees. You know, you flip the switch and you can turn it on and all these little lights come on and it's, you know, different colors or one color
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is. And I totally ripped it apart. And I cut all the lines off of it. So each branch, each section of branch was the individual LED for the EMF meter. Each set of branches. So as it coned its way up to the top, it made that flow. So I was like, well, you know what? I will make this like this because it seems to be more calming to me to set like or bring a gift into a home like you would bring somebody who just moved into a place. I'm bringing you flowers
mm-hmm.
or I'm bringing you a bundt cake or whatever it is, you know, just bring it in there. And if you bring flowers or something like this into a home, it makes it more calm in that area of like, whoa, they just brought us a gift. Well, let's go check it out. You know, maybe you can get some interaction with something more in tune to what they've known. You know what I mean? It's just that's what I do. I mean, I build things and I make it as easy as possible.
Okay.
So.
And you know what about the drone? And I know my buddy Stephen Tighe, our tech guy, is listening, and I'm sure he'll chime in
okay.
on this. Explain the
okay.
drone to him. Steven's a big drone guy.
Okay, my drones are all ground. My drones are seek out. I'll leave my drone because my drones, I even have some that have trailers on them, okay? They can hold like four or five of those 4K little cheap GoPro cameras in a circle. You know, I'm always either in one place or the other, and there's always one camera or two of the cameras that I can see a live feed on. Okay, so I can have my iPad in one hand, the drone in totally across on the other side of the building, and I can see what's happening over there in a room that everybody says was haunted, but they also say this same room was haunted. It's more of being in two places at once. You know what I mean? It's a device to help you, you know, collect the data, to retrieve it. And, you know, with the EVP recorders on it and the EMF that's on it, the cameras that are on it. Barely, yes.
Okay.
See, there he goes. He had to jump right in there. See that?
I didn't
but
hear him.
No,
what did he say?
Well, he says, can they hear me?
No.
I says, barely. No, they said they can't hear you.
Okay.
And he said, okay.
Here,
but no, when I first created the drone, I had that for myself. I had made it, and I stuck every little bit of device I could possibly put into it on it. So it was like a small mobile me. And I'd send it off on its way. I could see it. I can control it to wherever I wanted it to go. And I would let it sit in the middle of the room and collect data all evening, not being touched or have any type of human influence on it whatsoever. And then at the end of the evening, I'd retrieve it and collect it and check the footage and do what I needed to do. So it was just basically a device to help me at the time. Now we're just using them in multiple scenarios too. You know, I have a drone right now that's got an arm on it that can be a retrieval drone. You know, if you're doing a dilapidated building that you can't get up on that second floor, or can't even walk through the first floor, they can. Okay. They can get in there. And if you see something down in a hole or in some place you can't get to it and you want to know what it is, these things will go in there and you can get it. You can grab it and pull it out. You know what I mean? Yeah, it helps. It's helped me out a lot.
That's interesting. And again, now are you guys gonna come up with a way that these devices that you come up with could create any type of data log?
Any type of what, Bill?
Data log.
Yes. Scott has been working on that for a while.
That is definitely
He loves data, and that's what he wants. He wants it to be able to send back data constantly. You know, like wind pressures, heat, the whole nine yards, which we are working with through Arduino. Arduino is an old thing. You know, it's been around for a while, a few years. But with Arduino, you know, a lot of people have used the Arduino boards to make EMF meters and, you know, certain type, you know, ghost boxes with these Arduino chips. But we're going to do them to collect data. And it's all ones and zeros is all it is, you know, and that's what Scott's been working on for a while. So it's going to be implemented into a couple of our drones here pretty soon, you know.
So are you going to get more into the robotic end of things as well, like introducing more robotics into some of your work? Or?
Yeah, I am, because I've been working on actually, you guys have seen the static glove. I made that.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a robotic device. It actually, you know, Scott can tell more about it because he's the one that actually invented that one. I was like, whoa. I was freaking nuts, dude. That was cool. He said, we'll put it together then. So I had to put it together, but he made it, you know. It's more of that. Yeah, I will later on down the road, but I've got a lot of stuff that I've been working on that I'm trying to get done. You know, there's quite a bit of projects on my bench right now and in my head that has just been floating around in parts and pieces. I need to finish them before I start continuing on with another one.
Will you ever
on the data part of that?
Will you ever, you know, consider, you know, doing custom builds for someone, or you just want to be the thinker and the teacher?
Thank you, young man. Doing a custom build for somebody, we have to pimp it out too much. We'll have to be dazzle it and all that. It can just get crazy, all glittery up in here. It's just nuts. But no, building for somebody, if I build for somebody, I'm going to build for somebody to help them. I'm not going to build for somebody to sell it and make profit. You know what I mean? I will help them build what they need. You know,
that's
in any way I can, but because if I build something, then comes a point in shipping it to the person, and then if something goes wrong with it, then they have to ship it back, and I have to try and fix it, and it just becomes crazy, crazy-ass stuff. And I'm in the field to help as much as I can, but not create that problem of items breaking down and having to ship back and forth. I can help you build it if you have the right stuff. If you ask me, I'll show you. I'll send you video clips. I'll do whatever I can to help you build what you want to make it work. You know? I'm not in this for the glory and the money. I build it because I love to. I build it because I want to find what is out there. I build it because if I don't build it, my head will explode. Once it sticks in there, it don't go away until it's done.
Hey, Bill, do you mind if I jump in for a minute?
No, go ahead,
Steven. Absolutely.
So, first off, I have to start off with a couple things. I got it's really cold here in South Carolina. It must be like 70 degrees, and I've got this hat on that says REAP, but all I can think of is this video
REAP.
That goes REAP, REAP,
REAP, REAP.
It's stuck in my head now forever.
And it will be, because that's part of our thing. If we wear the beanies, we're even driving down the road and we have the beanies on, we look at each other and go, REAP. And it's just that thing. It's just there. It has to happen.
It's stuck in my head like a the phone tape theory.
We are so honored that you do that.
We love it.
Second off,
you guys.
I have it on good word that Brenda's a real para whore.
I pretty much heard that, yeah.
It's probably why she has that raspy voice.
Yeah, that lady Brenda was a whore.
Oh, para whore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, para. So.
Yeah, and,
oh,
and
yeah.
She's nodding right now.
So, this weekend I had to break off to see some other people, but I saw this pretty neat thing when you were talking about Christmas trees, where a guy had basically taken a maybe a 6-foot-tall, 1-inch by 1-inch strip of wood, and then drilled some holes, and he placed light rods in it of various lengths. It looked like a Christmas tree, and I guess in the hopes of picking up static electricity that moved through it, and actually some of those sensors went off, but just from a basic, like, you know, trying to get some stuff from, say, like Bill Chappell, those energy rods, and sticking it in a thing to cover more room. I thought that was pretty interesting. So I heard you talking about a Christmas tree, and that kind of reminded me of that.
Well, it's easy to make. It's very easy to make. I think I must have spent a total of $40 to make that.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Not going to cost you, you know. I got this guy, Richard Wade. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of Dave Miller's, too. And he sent me his SLS camera. His SLS camera was just handheld. It was just got a grip on it, and it becomes very tiresome holding it like that. Okay? So he sent it to me, and all I'm going to do is just I'm going to pimp his ride is what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to send it back to him. There's no charge for it. If you have the equipment, you know, and even if you have the right stuff, I can help put that stuff together for you. I can do a messenger live. It doesn't bother me one bit. You know, if it helps in the field and helps people be more comfortable around working with things like that, then I'm all for it.
No, that's very cool. I appreciate the chance to talk with you, and I know you guys are doing great things. So maybe if you see a friend request from a Steven, you know, I'll be working with Bill trying to think, wow, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
It is. I mean, this stuff pops off my head. I could be walking around in a freaking hardware store. Actually, my thing is going to thrift stores because I like finding old items. Anything old, any old electronic, like take C or D batteries and then customize it. Make it work for me. You know what I mean? I'll rip it all apart, redo the whole inside, add the sensors, do what I need to do, adjust a little upgrades on it, and then it works for me. You know, or just building builds from scrap is even funner. But my desk is a total mess.
That's pretty awesome. I hope we get a chance to hook up and share some ideas. I'm not going to take up all your night or steal the show, so I just had one other thing. I was thinking of the drone stuff. And do you build off a current system? Like,
I'll grab one and I'll rip it apart, you know, because that's what I always do. That's what Scott says. Why must you rip my shit apart? So I do, just to be on, you know, the shitty side, but I do. But anyway, I'll add my stuff to it. I'll add my components to it, and I'll make it better. I'll make it go further. I'll make the sensors in it more stronger. I'll do what I can to put 90% of me into it and the other 10% the piece that I picked up. You know what I mean? It's all about just...
Are you building from scratch, or are you just taking a model and then modifying it?
Well, I modify, and then there's some that I do build from scratch. Like, I got this one drone that I've been building on, been working on for about 6 months, and I call her June 22 because June 22nd of last year is the first time she moved on her own.
Oh,
with
wow.
No help from me, with batteries in it and following me and tracking me. And the possibilities I have with this drone are going to be just freaking endless because it can pick up any, you know, all I have to do is put a picture of an object in front of it or put an object in front of it. It data logs it, puts it in its system, and then it looks for that object. And it won't stop looking until it finds it.
That's very cool. And I guess when I think of mine, and I've used it only for video and taking pictures of the landscape, and I thought
well, maybe I could hover around a building, but I always thought from the outside, although Bill wanted me to fly it in the Lord Baltimore, I was afraid the hotel staff would be a little upset about that. But
then go ground. Go ground. It's the best way you can go.
Okay.
When you're inside of a building, just think of ground, but just remember track tires. If you go with just regular tires, then you tend to get stuck. If you're a track tire, like a tank-style tire, then it's more in tune to going over a lot of objects. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You won't get stuck. Yeah. You won't have to go continuously trying to find it and unstick it.
All right. So I'm not going to geek out too much. I'm going to turn you back over. But, hey, thanks for talking with me, and I appreciate
it. And you're talking to the guy that's the master of the geeking out. So, I mean, you can talk all you want, bro. I'll be right here.
Another time.
Thanks, Stephen, for your input. I knew the drones would get you.
Yeah, they always do. That's why they're always constantly sitting here on my bench looking at me.
You know, it was about, I don't know, how many years ago, hon? We had that idea, and we could never get it to work properly, taking just remote control trucks and putting wireless cameras on them.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is I probably already know what happened. The process of them getting stuck or the weight factor,
yep.
They won't move through certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, it's the gearing. Okay, if you find something that's a low gearing, like let's say you go out and you buy a cheap remote control tank. Okay, you can gut
mm-hmm.
that bad boy, put a flat surface on top of it, and you can house 14 different small items on that and just go. You know what I mean? You can have the
yes.
remote control in your hand, then you could stick a small, let's say you could do it like this. You can go out and buy a cheap $15, $20 4K camera that's got Wi-Fi. All right? Just a cheapie. You know, those little tiny GoPro things. You go purchase
mm-hmm.
that, and it's got Wi-Fi. You can hook it to your iPad or your Android device, stick it to your hand controller, and there you go. There's your vision. That's how you see when you're getting around places. It's things like that that I see to help, you know, but my drones have already got internal cameras on them. They have night vision on them already internally. So I adapt that. I stick a bigger IR bulb on it, and I can light up a whole room with one IR, you know. It's just modifying. I modify certain things in them, and I make them better.
And, you know, and that's – you know, some of the, I mean, I look at some of the things that you come up with, and it's like, you know, really, why didn't somebody ever look at this and go, hey, this would be something really, I mean, you take the most practical, and I love the concept of using mundane items.
Yeah.
As,
you know,
as
most
objects.
Of the time, I'll wake up from a dream at 3 a.m. and have to write it down. You should see all the paper that's thrown on my side of the bed. You know, it's all over the place. Yeah. He writes it down on my side of the bed. No, yours is in a crayon on the floor. No, but if I write it, I mean, I've got so much papers, it's not even funny. Scott's seen it. I got a file folder. I could fill up a file cabinet with all my ideas I wake up to. It's just they pop in my head, they wake up, and I end up start building it. That's what becomes the, you know, the project of the week, you know. And some
now
of my
you,
other projects
you,
get put on the back burner.
Not only did you give us drama to use while we were in Bel Air, Ohio, you
yes.
sent me a wonderful gift.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh.
Classic
which
micro
I then,
cassette recorder.
Which I then took and set next to a Tesla coil
mm-hmm.
to do EVPs with. It was
oh,
it was
yeah.
amazing because, I mean,
yeah,
well, first of all, you know, people don't understand how, you know, because you talk to somebody about a cassette recorder, let alone a micro cassette recorder, they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, you know what? If I had a regular cassette recorder with a microphone, you know, with a lead off of it, I would use that more than I would use a digital recorder. I
absolutely.
Would. If I had one, like Scott has an old tape recorder. He's got the old wound, round style recorders. The
reel to reel?
Boss, yeah, reel to reel thing. He's even still got a brand new tape cartridge for it. You know, it's still in the sealed in its can, but he won't let me touch it. He's afraid
Does
I'm going to rip it apart or something.
I mean, the concept and how the head works and how it produces sound and puts sound on the tape, you know, it would be crazy not to. I mean, digital recorders are great, but I mean, I set that
it's
thing
magnetic.
Down. Exactly. Set that down.
You know.
Turned on it, you know, put it, you know, took it and set it up so that the mic would be next to the Tesla coil.
Mm-hmm.
And fired it up and just let it run.
And you got
nobody
some
around.
Pretty good stuff.
Yes. To nobody asking questions.
I couldn't believe it. Exactly.
And
exactly.
I was like, this is awesome. And I thank you so much for that because it kind of brings.
Yeah, it's great.
It brings us back to the good old days.
We will be using that a lot. Although, for moments like that, you need Amazon Prime so that you can find cassettes for it and have them shipped within 2 days so that we have the time for the investigation.
Exactly, because they don't make them anymore. I mean, you can find them there. You used to be able to find them at Radio Shack in a six-pack, but not anymore.
Right.
There's no more Radio Shack.
So, Mish hands this to me on Wednesday night. I'm like, this is awesome.
Friday, though.
And we ran to Walmart, and the guy goes, a micro cassette? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, damn it, that plum there don't make those no more.
They said, why don't you buy Staples? I'm like, no, I need a tape. Not Staples, I need a tape. And he's, no, the office place?
Yeah.
So I went to Staples, and they're like, they stopped making those like in the 40s, didn't they?
No, early,
like, no.
90s.
Yeah,
early 90s.
So I went on Amazon, and it was like, Amazon Prime. Will it be here by Friday for the investigation? Yes. And then I sat by the mailbox.
You're sitting by
and they came. And I was like, this is awesome. And I was excited, and I was like, okay, this is how we're going to do this, because you and I had talked about the Tesla coil beforehand and that kind of theory, and it was awesome. And
well, yeah,
we
I mean, I was experimenting with the Tesla coil. I purchased one at my local dollar store, which was pretty cool because it's got Bluetooth and a radio on it, you know. I purchased the Tesla coil, and I was messing around with it and, you know, opened up the bottom and kind of, you know, adjusted the transformer base a little bit and got I got an EMF spike that made all my phones just flip out, and I couldn't even call or touch the buttons for about an hour. Yeah, so
that's
I was like, ooh, and then I got a headache off of it, and then I stuck an ITC application that Dave had up against it, and it was working for the longest time, and I got some words off of that thing I didn't even believe I would ever get.
And that's, you know, the only bad thing about working with the Tesla coil is the headache.
Yeah, I got that quite a bit.
You got to leave it out of the room. That's why I was like, maybe if I create like a soundproof box that the Tesla coil
yeah,
could be
I,
on.
Yeah, we've worked in that. We've worked in isolation. That's,
yeah,
you know,
and,
we've done that.
But be able to slot it so that the cassette recorder is not going to move around and get that vibration
exactly.
Of that anything, you know, while it's running.
That's what we
that
did
hump.
With the LEV when we stuck it out in the desert when we went to Tonopah. That was part of that experimentation
yeah.
We left for somebody to find.
And I think
that's
that's something awesome to kind of get into for that isolation, because it's not going. I mean, all right, if I would love to then take a digital recorder, put it on the outside of that box, and have the microcassette recorder with the Tesla coil on the inside of that box.
Yep.
And see what you get. One versus the other. One being in the exterior, you know, in the real world, and the other being in that isolated world.
Exactly. Exactly. No human influence on the inside.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, when I created that jar with a feather and everybody looked at me like I was nuts.
No.
And I'm like, okay,
who would look
you
at
tell
you?
Me?
I mean, I would make something like that, Bill. I would.
Yeah.
I would put it in there and I would seal it up. So there was no chance of anything making that feather move.
Right.
Right.
There's no wind. There's no nothing.
Right.
You know, and if that feather moves, then you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute here.
I mean, it's on a perfectly level surface. It hasn't moved in over 2 hours since I've been watching it, and it's moving now. Yeah, there's something.
Anytime we can take out the human element, it verifies more that there, you know, it's not a pressure of a hand squeeze. It's not a wind moving it. You know, these are things, if we can eliminate them.
You know, you have a brilliant idea. We're talking about dousing rods, Jeff. And Chris was like, if we could get dousing rods and place them in holders so that they'd work on their own. Now, dousing rods work off of human energy. They work off the human field.
Yeah, just kind of like my static meter that I had, that I gave that to a friend of mine.
So
I gave that to Dave Miller. When I built that, if you set the static meter on the ground or if you set it on any table, any surface, it does not work. If you hold it in your hand, it works off of you. You know, that's what it's meant to do.
Right, but with the dowsing rod, if we're using dowsing rods to have spirit move the dowsing rods, then it's not just our energy. We're asking for their energy to move them.
Exactly.
So
in some circumstances, you take it out. In some circumstances, there's a lot, like the people that are out there, the spirits. Okay, we call them people. They used to be people. Well,
right.
I treat them like that. There's some that don't have enough energy to objects in that way. They barely have enough energy to speak as well as anything else, and maybe one word at a time.
Right.
You know, but then it becomes, it's not for sure, but they become tired and they can't produce what they want to produce to you. With dowsing rods, they're a little bit heavy, which is understandable, but if you can get it to where it's like set on a ball bearing type of system, it's barely the lightest touch can move them, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I would use that. I would set it up.
Right.
For that.
Now, that's what we're working on right now, is taking out that human element, because I love dowsing rods, but I'm also extremely skeptical, because when you hold a dowsing rod, even the slightest change of pressure in the way you're holding the rod will move that rod.
Yeah, or movement.
Hold tight to you and you breathe. You know, the slightest thing can move those rods. I'm always focused on the hand and the breath.
Okay, well then do this, Chris. then make it like this, okay? This is how I would make it if I were going to make it, okay? I would do the ball bearing technique, okay? You know, with the washers, the whole nine yards, make it perfectly level. Put it on a stationary stand, okay?
Right.
Make it to where they don't move at all. Now, if a lot of people says it works off your energy or your body, encompass it in grips. So even if you do touch it, it still doesn't move the rods. So that way you can still have the human influence on it, but yet not have the human influence. You know what I mean? If it's going to use your energy to help make it move,
right,
then maybe hold on to something that it's in tune to the rod, both of them in a stationary position. Okay? So actually have the rods in your hand as much as you're touching around the rod, which is the metal, and the rods are encased in a bearing setup.
There's no
possible way that you can move it or adjust it unless you release it and make it move. See, that's my thinking. You're going to put the human influence into it, but you're not going to. You're going to use your body as part of it, kind of like some of my projects I do. You're going to use it, but you're going to use it to a point where it uses your energy to help it move, not your body to help it move.
Right. Oh, I like that.
So there you go.
I like that. Wow.
That's my thinking on it. See?
See? And this is why.
That just pops off the top of my head. So.
And this is why collaboration is so important, and there needs to be more of it through the field, because, someone has an idea, and the other person can say, well, what if you did it this way? And another person says this, until eventually you get exactly what you're looking for.
Exactly. That's it. You work together to find a solution.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, collaboration. And
yes.
Doing, coming together instead of the BS that is in the field all over the place.
I don't have time for it. I got too many projects to make.
Yep.
I don't have time. We don't have time for it either. We got too many places to be and too many people to hang out with, and you know, kind of learn from each other and discuss how we're gonna prove, you know, start gathering proof.
And have a good time when you do it. You always got to have a good time when you do it.
Yes.
If you're not having a good time, there's no reason to do it.
You know, I'm sure, you know, people, you know, can say whatever they want about how, you know, you and Scott, you know, joke around and do your craziness, or how, you know, Chris and I and Paul and Tina and Steven and everybody a little crazy every once in a while, whether it's before an investigation.
You have to let off that steam. If you don't, Bill, you know this as well as I do. If you go up and you're constantly serious about just going into this place, what you're doing is you're bringing yourself in with a negative. Okay?
Right.
If you go up and you're having a good time, talking about it outside the building or the home, not the home, we don't do houses, but a building, you know, and if you're going to go in, once you enter the building, it starts getting to the point where it's like, okay, let's calm down a little bit and let's see what we can produce.
Right, it's serious.
If you're going to go in there like you're going to go like balls out crazy, like you're going to be freaking Rambo in there thinking you're going to find everything you want to find in one hop skip, then it ain't going to work.
No.
Because you think if you're going to go into somebody's home that used to be theirs over, what, 100 years ago, you're going to walk into that place and these, you know, spirits, these people are going to look at you walking into them going, what the hell is going on? I ain't talking to this asshole. Let's go downstairs, honey. We're going over here. Screw this. He can act stupid. You know what I mean? It just, you know, you get what you give.
Exactly.
If you go in there with positivity, you're going to get positivity. If you go in there thinking you're going to own the whole world, then good luck with that.
No, and the other thing is, and you say it, and you know, Chris says it all the time and reminds us all the time. Remember, they were people once.
Yeah, and that's
so
how I go in there.
Treat
like,
them
hey,
as,
I'm sorry,
people.
I don't mean to enter your home, your place. You know, I wasn't, you know, I was invited, and you know, I brought you a housewarming gift. That's exactly what I do.
You
know,
you want to start it off.
You start it off with a good positive feeling in the room. I mean, I've been doing it a long time. Well, a couple days. I've been doing it a little bit. And over the years I've been doing it, you know, that's how I go ever gone into it. I'm not afraid
what
to go in by myself.
What got you into the paranormal?
Let's just say it would happen when I was 12 years old. And it wasn't a good thing. I mean, I'm not saying it was, you know, it was just something that was very bad in the home. And, you know, it was some trying times and kind of hard for me to talk about it. I really don't like to. You know, it was at that point in time, I'm sorry, but it was that point in time in my life that, you know, for 3 months straight, there was barely any sleep. There was constant moving of objects. There was destruction of my toys and, you know, stepbrother's toys. It was just constant stuff. It was like, it was crazy.
Well,
you know.
Well, we don't want you, you know, we don't want you discussing anything you are uncomfortable with, and that's perfectly.
To this day, you know, that's one thing I still am very uncomfortable talking about. I'll go into an investigation, Chris, and just be so open-minded about the whole thing and not have one bit of remembrance of what happened when I was 12. Because of the fact that before I even go into this place, the first thing I ask is, you know, I ask two questions before I even go into a building or whatever. You know, if anybody's ever done it, is does it have red eyes and is shit getting thrown at you? That's all I ask. And if that doesn't happen, nope, we never had that, then I'm going in. But if it does, I'm not going near it. I'm not stepping one foot near it.
And that's, you know, I think it's important to have lines.
I'll send a drone in.
I think it's important that, you know, when you find a line that you stick to it, that you don't push yourself beyond that. Because when you push yourself into something you truly aren't comfortable with, or that truly makes you nervous or scares the hell out of you, or whatever it is, if you cross, if you set a line for yourself and say, you know, this is what I won't deal with, this is something I won't work with,
exactly,
or go near, and you start crossing that line, pushing yourself for whatever reason, I think you start
things
putting
happen.
Yourself in danger. And so, you know,
things,
if there's
things start
that,
happening.
Right. And if there's something that doesn't work for you, don't do it. There's no reason to.
No, and I don't. And Scott knows this too, and Scott doesn't do it either. If it doesn't feel right, he doesn't do it, we won't go near it.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it's been, it's the way it's always going to be. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, are going to do what they're going to do, and, you know, more power to them. It's just I have certain, you know. You're drama free for 1,200 days? Woohoo! Got drama free for 1,200 days.
That's not easy to do this day and age and in this field. You know, between.
I know, it's just that's just the way it is and the way it's always going to be.
Yeah, it's. Unfortunately, with social media, it just puts it out there so easily. So many people quick to call out people without naming names. You know what? I think if you're going to have the balls to call someone out, throw a name out there. Put it all out
in
there.
In that area, yeah, in that area of that stuff that's going on, I don't really get too much involved in it. Because what it does is it affects how I feel, and it affects what I do if I get too much involved into anything like that.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, see,
my thing is if I get negative when I'm trying to do a positive, it doesn't work. So I'm always in that positive area. I'm always building. I'm always doing something to keep my mind focused.
That's great.
You know,
I've started pretty much a new rule with my Facebook stuff. When I start seeing bullshit fly and the drama and the negativity being put out there, I've learned to really love the unfriend and block buttons.
You know, I understand that area. I have never really blocked anybody. You know what I mean? I mean, when they came on there, they were my friends. I don't have anything against them. It's just, you know, I just don't have time for it. Every once in a while, it's on Facebook or do a post. And otherwise, I'm building. I've got things I'm doing. You know, it doesn't really bother me. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And if you're not, you're not. You know, it's just that's
gotta
your
prerogative. Get along with everybody.
You have to. If you don't, then it just blows up. Causes stress. Point. You know, I don't need stress
life's
right now. I'm too busy.
Life's
and,
too short.
And
say
I love
it's stressful.
And I love that the drama, it's called drama, because to stand there and go, I love drama, and have everyone go, what?
Exactly. That was the whole point. The whole point, but I had to find the perfect name for it.
Right.
And you did.
If everybody loves drama, then that's it. Drama, but drama doesn't mean drama. Drama means another thing. You know,
right.
But it's a purpose of if you hear it. You know what I mean? Everybody starts laughing. They will laugh. They will joke about it. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay?
That's exactly what we did.
You laugh and
like
joke.
For the first time.
That's all you do. Hell, I don't know what my next piece of, you know, equipment might be named. Who knows? You know, but it's just a fact. Most of the time, I don't even name them. You know, I just, here, Scott. He goes, what's this? And I go, it's a device. They go, what does it do? And I go, detect spirits. And he goes, okay, this is the EM32. Why do you call it an EM32? I don't know. It just sounded good. Okay. Then you just called it
EM32. Because it came after EM31.
Yeah, and, you know, he says, well, why'd you call it June 22? I says, because it was the date it first moved. And he goes, oh, you know, and it stopped him right there. He had no words for it. And then
That was all that one took. But that's the only time I've ever really named something besides
Shirley. I think the next one should be called Shirley.
Shirley?
No, Brenda.
Shirley.
Brenda, okay, you know what? Brenda 32. We'll call it Brenda 32. But I don't know what it's going to be yet. Cause I haven't
why
made
Shirley?
It.
Wait a minute, why Shirley?
Because Shirley,
I don't know.
It's going to be a hit.
Hey,
Shirley, it's going to be a hit. I like
Shirley,
that.
Just don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. I like Shirley. Brenda was a little too tough. She was a power whore anyway.
Yeah, she was. She was. But that's just me. That's all I am.
Well,
I just build and go.
What's next on the horizon for you?
I got a couple of projects on the table right now, especially doing working with EVPs. You know this because I've asked you for some and I've asked you people for some. You know, experimenting, doing a few things with tones and frequencies and, you know, trying to get that perfect area of communication.
Cool.
You know?
We got about...
Instead of that one word of, I want a whole conversation, Bill. I want a whole conversation.
How would we get a whole conversation?
Well, I don't have any theories as much as I have ideas. I feel okay with,
now, wait a minute.
Working off
the whole conversation of you speaking and them answering your question, and like you and I and Chris are talking right now, that type of conversation,
exactly.
Or the weird shit that happened when when we just leave a recorder going and it's like blah, 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 and there's a whole conversation.
Well, it's rare that you get a complete and full sentence. Okay, if you get a complete and full sentence, that's gold. That's gold to me.
Yes.
If you get one word like out or hi or thank you, like what we've got at the Forgotten Inn, to me that's like seeing an orb. Okay. To me, the gold pot is finding that area of total communication. Finding it, and I'll search for it until I die. I will. Because, you know, it takes a lot of time to work through all the data and the zeros and the ones, like a few friends work with, to find it. And if I find it, then, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. But as soon as I can get an answer to a question, then if I get it, then, yeah, it's gold to me. And I'm going to share it. And I'm going to give it away. I'm going to tell everybody, go out there, ask them why they're still here. You know, why are you here? What's it like? Get that answer. Get the whole freaking complete answer instead of just partials. You know what I mean? I'll give this shit away. I will. And every paranormal investigator out there will look at this and go, wow, you know, we're going back to this place we went to 10 years ago because I got all these EVPs and just partials. Let's go. We're going back to this place we haven't been to in 10 years. Let's go. You know, it's a fact in helping them communicate with us. Because right now they're having trouble.
Right.
And what I'm going to try and do is help them.
See,
I could talk
advice,
about this all night. So.
What's your advice? Well, we've got like 10 minutes left. So what's your advice to somebody who's just starting to build their own equipment? What's your advice to them?
Make it your own. Okay, make it you. If you are building something, make it to help you, okay? I mean, that's what I do. And, you know, if it helps you communicate and you understand it more than anybody because you built it, okay? You understand how it works. When you go into a place, you understand what it's going to do. It's yours. If you're going to build it for you. Don't build it to impress. Build it for you. I could go into a place with wires hanging out everywhere. I don't give a shit. If it works and it helps me, I'm keeping it.
I agree. It's got to be something, you know, something that you're into.
Yeah. I mean, I give stuff away all the time that looks rugged and straight off the, or been ran, looks like it's been ran over with a truck.
Did you just hear that? What the hell was that?
Oh, you mean the jet?
Oh, it was a jet. Okay.
Yeah, it was a giant jet. One of those big ones that fly.
Oh. Okay.
Damn.
Last time I heard jets going overhead, I got destroyed by mosquitoes.
Wow.
What, What is the most important piece of equipment that you, somebody starting out, that you feel that they should have?
A bell. If they're just starting out, get a bell. Get a set of cowbells, okay?
We need more cowbells.
Just get it. Just get it. I mean, it's endless. It doesn't take batteries. You don't have to worry about charging it. And when you're starting out, you start out with that. Start out with a bell and an EMF recorder. Just go buy a standard recorder from a Office Depot. Start out with that at the beginning. And then when you progress later on down the road, go bigger. Make your own stuff or purchase more stuff. But it all depends on how you want to react with it. My stuff, the very first thing I ever had was my set of bells and an EVP recorder that I still have. That I only have one computer that I can actually download it onto because I lost a freaking CD to it. So, and they don't make it anymore. So, you know,
best
it's all about what.
For somebody who's out there investigating, do's and don'ts.
I don't really have any do's and don'ts. It's just be yourself. Be yourself. Go in there. Have a good time. There's your serious parts, and then there's your funny parts, okay? But, you got to go in there with a good attitude. That's all I say. That's all I'm going to say on that. I mean, there's not much more you can say in that area because you can't literally say to anybody how they're going to do an investigation. It's just, you know, just be you. You know, that's the best thing I can say.
Okay.
There is no wrong. Yeah, there is no wrong way to do it unless you're provoking it, provoking them.
All right. You open that door. What's your thoughts on those people who provoke?
Provoke is just for them to get answers. It's not for communication, and that's straight up. I didn't even hesitate on telling you that.
No, you didn't.
That's just for their purpose and nobody else's. That's how I feel on provoking. It should not happen.
I agree.
Like you sitting there yelling at somebody you don't even know on a street corner, and then what response are you going to get? You're either going to get retaliation or you're going to get them walking away from you and never speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel about the whole thing. If you're going to go in there, you never provoke. Don't ever provoke. It's a big no-no to me.
You know, Jeff, this was great having you on with us. I love when we get to sit and chat. And to get into your mind today was pretty freaking scary, but pretty freaking cool.
That's the way I am. You're shutting me up now.
What else did you have?
Sorry. Can't tell you anymore.
Can we bring you back?
Inside my head, part 4.5.
It'd be inside your head, part 2.
How many episodes have we had?
Well,
wow.
The ones where you call in all the time are not episodes.
Yeah.
This is all about you. This is all about you.
Usually, I have to jump in there and like, "How you doing?"
When you sit there and have guests on your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you have guests on your show and I listen. It just opens up. It opens up things for me, and that's what I want to get in there and start talking about it.
That's
kind of hard.
Love when you call it.
Yeah, you know, I have to pop in there every once in a while to give my theory on not theory.
No, and that's
sorry.
Awesome.
No theories.
And
no
please
theories.
Please don't
just,
stop doing that. Please don't stop doing
I'll
that.
I'll never stop doing it.
Because you do a lot of. It's a catalyst. It brings out a lot of great things.
If there's ever one day that I don't work on something, I get very antsy. Very. And I can't control it. I have to be over here, and then Scott will wake up from his nap in the afternoon. He'll see me on my side of the bench. He goes, "What the hell? How long have you been here?" You know, a couple hours. So.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if they have questions?
Just hit me up on Messenger. I don't care. Look at my Facebook. You know, either way.
All right.
It all works.
Excellent. And, you know, if you aren't friends with Jeff Conical, please, you know, look him up. Shoot him a message. He's a great guy. He's not going to give you, you know, he's not going to blow smoke up your ass, which is one of the greatest things about him. You know, he's very real.
I'll blow smoke up my own ass.
you know, and he legit, and he's got a great heart, and I'm glad to have him in
my
life.
I love doing what I do.
Loves having him around, and you know, we're definitely gonna talk some more. Definitely have to have you back on the show.
Yeah.
If you'll come back.
Yeah, I'll come back.
You sure? Do I have to twist your
arm? You didn't twist it. You just ripped it off. So, yeah, I'll be back.
All right. Send that check. We have to send that check out. Uh-huh. Call the
store. Yeah, you do.
Call the store.
Yeah. No, the crow. Actually, the crow's faster. That's 2-day air. Stork is 4-day.
But we really appreciate you taking the time out to be on with us tonight.
Hey, it's not a problem, buddy. Anything, man. Anytime. You know that.
No, and thank you for always, you know,
great.
Listening to our craziness.
Hey, yeah, thank you for watching our craziness.
Oh, we love you guys.
It's great having all these people. It's great to make people laugh. It's what we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you do a great job, and I totally respect what you do in the paranormal. And give our best to Mr. Grunwald.
He is. He's in Munchin right now. He's eating dinner, so I'm out here in the garage being all left alone.
All right, and we will definitely we'll touch base, you know, very soon. We'll get you back on with us. Thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule from building and coming on.
Hey, not a problem, buddy. For you, anytime.
All right, thank you so much. Next week's guest, before we let Jeff go, next week's guest is going to be Seth Breedlove. Seth is an Ohio filmmaker. He has written, edited, and produced and directed shorts and lectures about a variety of topics. He's best known for his Small Town Monsters. Okay. Seth's going to be on talking about a few of the new short films that he's done, what's on the horizon. He's not unknown by many people. His stuff is amazing. We'll have a lot of great chats with him. Next week, we will have a special guest on co-host for Chris. It's going to be Paul Dixon. They talk with Seth about what's coming on.
Cool.
You know, once again, Jeff, thank you so much for being on with us.
One thing for you. Just remember this, okay? Single pixel camera. That's all I'm going to say.
Single pixel camera. What am I going to do with that?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff in there with that. A lot of stuff.
Now I have to remember that. Thanks, Joe.
No, you're quite welcome. Let that stir in your brain for a while, and I'll probably get in a call about an hour.
See, I don't have to remember because he is my memory bank. He's like my data card. I need to remember something. I just tell him, and
I just filled it up, though.
I'm going to have to get like a terabyte freaking side.
External hard drive there, buddy.
Installed in my head.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. Anytime. I love you, bro.
Love
you guys.
Jeff,
thanks for having me on.
For being here tonight. It was great as always. Scott, we love you too. And
he's still eating.
Well, we'll have to have you guys back on again sometime soon. And you know, have you both on here and let Scott talk, and maybe we'll get Brenda to call in again.
Oh yeah, no, so, she'll call in again. She's a whore, so
of course.
She has to. Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Thank you guys. Love you both. You have a good evening.
Love you. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, everyone. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Night.